Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. The
Score! This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
The Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody. 10 to 2 on 670.
Ben Johnson, 39 years old, on the other sideline. His first game as an NFL head coach. Going to be fun. Williams has to get out. Looking downfield, and Adunze. He caught it. First down, Chicago. What a throw. What a catch by Rome Adunze.
Williams, a lot of room.
Looking for the end zone. He is in. Touchdown.
QB1 party. Pop your champagne. Smoke them if you got them.
Third long. Watch out. Picked off. There's Wright down the sideline. Gets a block. And now a touchdown.
We are back. We are back.
The Bears are back, baby.
I'm going to take the North and never give it back.
McCarthy. Pass is caught, spinning grab by Aaron Jones. And somehow, some way, the Minnesota Vikings are on top. McCarthy keeps. He's got it. And forces his way into the end zone. Touchdown. And Manungai can't make a play, and that's it. The Minnesota Vikings will start this season 1-0 with this strong comeback. Ben Johnson, the rookie head coach, 0-1.
Oh, no. We suck again.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, I don't know if that doesn't hit the nail on the head. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score as we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Breaking news on The Score when we have it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. You can text us. You've been doing it already, but for those of you who don't know the number, 312-644-6767. You can call us as well. And most importantly, you can also leave a voice message on our meatball machine. That is on the Odyssey app. You can go to the Odyssey app, leave a voice message. We will play the compilation of the best and worst meatball machine entries at 1:25. How did you feel about the Bears game? Did you leave a voice message twice? Mm. Did you go through some things? There's a chance you did. We don't care, and neither does the meatball machine. It doesn't discriminate or talk back, unlike me. So go ahead and leave a voice message there. We are also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis, and our producers in house are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano with the great open, you guys killed it, and Brandon Fryer. And unfortunately, not that I thought that "oh no, we suck again" was the exact way I would put this, for the first half we felt good, and then the second half happened, and then unfortunately the scoreboard indicated a loss, and we knew this was going to be bumpy. We knew this was going to not look perfect. But when it's a winnable game like that, and you see how it slipped away from the Bears due to issues we had seen before, whether it be penalties, special teams miscues, unfortunately injuries hurting the defense, it came together in a way where, once again, we are saying to ourselves, especially after those precious home games, this is one that they could have won. You have to actually have it in the division if you want to stay competitive, knowing how good that division is, what we've seen. And unfortunately, we're talking about yet another 0-1 start to the Bears season.
It's that gif, the meme. You know the one. They had us in the first half, not going to lie. That's the one where the high school football player, is saying that that's what this game was, because in the first half they had me, Layla. We were in a group chat and I'm telling Layla, hey, I think this is it. I think they've figured it out, because the first drive, I'm sorry, how many times did they score a touchdown on a first drive last season? I believe that the answer is zero. The answer is zero. And they went and marched down the field, precise precision. I don't even know what a sack looks like. Take a penalty, doesn't even matter. We're going to keep mowing through it. And they did that. But as that game went on, the cracks started to show of what happens when you're missing three of your best defensive players. And when you can't establish a running game, even though I thought they were going to establish a running game, I was sorely wrong. And then you have a first-time head coach. I've been very clear in that I believe that Ben Johnson is an excellent wonder kid, genius play caller, but I don't know what he is as a head coach. He has a lot to learn, a long way to go, which he admitted to, but the things that stand out, the absolutely terrible challenge, the decision to let Cairo Santos attempt to kick it out of the end zone. And then, of course, when you look at the penalties, he warned us from the beginning of training camp that the Bears had to be better before the snap. 12 penalties for more penalty yards than every team in the NFL in week one except for one. That would be the Tennessee Titans. What do we think of the Tennessee Titans? Not a good football team. So you take all that and you understand why we came to this conclusion of the Bears losing the game, but also understanding, hey, it is week one. There's time to grow. There's another Caleb issue I'll deal with, but I'm sure everybody's going to talk about that.
No. You were good 30 seconds in. Don't worry about the rest of it. And the Titans, they did beat the Titans last year.
They did, thanks to Will Levis.
It was shades of Will Levis when that interception was thrown, honestly.
I
was thinking, okay, this looks familiar.
Right. No doubt about it. Yeah, rely on the incompetence of the opposition, and ultimately J.J. McCarthy was the antithesis of that once he got his act together, which was scary. Guys, I am sick for Bears fans today. Like, I've learned to take it. I've built up a certain amount of immunity covering this team on a full-time basis since 2018. But like I said, I don't think I've missed a single Bear. I'm not even – this is not hyperbole. I have not missed a Bears game in my life, in my sports consciousness life. You know what I'm saying? Like, the point where you know you are retaining and – which goes back – I think I said 1983. I think Ditka's first year, 1982 – is my streak of having watched Bears games. So
you're going back to Ditka.
I am going back to Ditka.
Also, I hope you're in therapy.
I've been through a lot of therapy. That's what I'm saying, man. I've built up some immunity. I got to Soldier Field at about 5 o'clock last night. So I saw, just driving to Soldier Field, seeing all the Bears fans in our South Loop and Printer's Row walking out to Soldier Field. And I do still feel that. Like I love that. I love seeing Bears fans in their jerseys, looking at the names on the back. I even don't mind seeing all the J.J. McCarthy fans. And they were all over the place. J.J. McCarthy gave his bros a lot of jerseys, and they were out in force in the South Loop walking out there. The buildup, man, the buzz. You've got 85 Bears just all over the place. You know, I'm walking, and I'm overwhelmed by that, of course. I've got that sentimental part in me, which I promise you I will not hit you over the head with today. But you've got Dan Hampton coming in there, and Calvin Thomas, Jim McMahon, Sean Gale, Reggie Phillips, all these guys, and it was just so great. You have Bulls players there. You have White Sox players there. And they are all it's at a fever pitch. And so when it starts to go down, like I'm looking at here where it started to really go bad. This is my empathy for the fans. It's in the fourth quarter. It's still 17-12 Bears, but you start to hear the boos on a 3rd and 19 where Van Ginkel nearly has an interception. You hear that light flow, that undercurrent of boos from my place in the press box at Soldier Field. And then lastly, the McCarthy, and I mentioned this in transition, the McCarthy 27-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Rodgers, where Noah Sewell got burned on that play to make it 20-17.
Yes.
I don't think there was any fan in that stadium, nor anybody in the press box, who thought the Bears were going to win that game. And then when it became 27-17, I looked in the south end zone from the press box, and you see that awful, sad scene of Bears fans reluctantly getting up out of their seats and leaving the stadium. And you see bald spots all over Soldier Field. And it's just, it's a sad walk of shame that Bears fans had to do again last night when we were all excited about the start of the season, even though I picked the Bears to lose.
You did pick the Bears to lose. I said 27-24, and I was correct. I just picked the wrong team. You said 20-17.
Yeah, I said the Minnesota was, but still.
And you were close.
But still, I go into it, though. Like I said, I was open to the Bears being great last night, and I felt good when I sat down at Soldier Field. And it was good for a while until it got horrible.
Our segment on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I settle into a position where the expectation is so high for Ben Johnson, and we know that. And we knew that this was not going to be smooth. And I sat here and I told you, you know, the first six, seven games under Ben Johnson in Detroit, they go 1-6, the Lions did. But the difference is you still saw flashes. You still saw some progress. Caleb Williams starts that game 10 of 10. We know how he ended, though, and it wasn't as accurate. At one point, it was 7 for 16. He ended up at 11 for 25 after being 10 for 10 in his completions. But the other issue is it's the cognitive dissonance of knowing that they did the right thing. They went out there and they scored on their first drive, and that was not something that we had seen. I actually disagree. I think you could tell even then they were out of rhythm a bit based on the preseason games that we had seen, small sample. However, based on that sample, you still kind of understood what you knew the rhythm to be of the game. The good news is it didn't matter. The good news is Caleb Williams worked his checkdowns. He did run. The lesson was clear. Do not take a sack. But here's where the issue comes in. After that touchdown where he stood on business running into the end zone, and he deserved every bit of that moment, he did. Then you go punt, turnover on downs, punt, field goal, end of half, punt, punt, missed field goal, and that was that disastrous 3rd-and-30 situation that they got in, where, if you recall, they started that drive at the 24, so that was an issue. Punt, punt, then they got the touchdown, and then ended the game on the fumble. The special teams miscues coming into play again was not something that I anticipated, especially when the one assistant coach they did retain at that level was the special teams coach. You know, here we are talking about a missed 50-yarder when we just saw a 41-year-old and Matt Prater kick it how far to win the game for the Bills on Sunday Night Football. The NFL is showing you that ability is being tested and being extended. But at the end of the day, you know, here we are talking about a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, the local guy from Nazareth, come out there, and after he throws a pick six in his debut at the home stadium of his hometown team on the road, he got better. And when he got better, that team won. You wish you were talking about that with QB1 here, but unfortunately, the Bears' injuries did come into play. Their threes were not as good as the Vikings' ones. And then you also saw the mismatches take place. Kevin O'Connell, unfortunately, outcoached Ben Johnson today, but it was Ben Johnson's first game as head coach. I say all of that saying, still ended up being a one-score game that you could have won, and you had all of the momentum for a lot of the game until suddenly the Vikings took over in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think you're spot on the fact that they almost were able to dink, dunk, cheat code their way with all the guys that they had hurt. And I give Dennis Allen a lot of credit for scheming it up and having the guys play the way they did, at least in the first half, Mark. In the first half, you have 9 drives by the Vikings. Their first 9 drives. They gained 85 yards. When you do that, something is going right. I think it was literally this idea that you were trying to do the most, and the longer you keep guys who are not starting level NFL players out there, the more chances you're giving them to be exposed. That's what happened on the Aaron Jones reception where he beats Noah Sewell. If you're out there, you're out there. And they really needed to continue to control the time of possession the way they did in the first half, but they weren't able to do that because they weren't able to get first downs on offense, the Bears. And once that happened, I said, this thing is unraveling, and it's unraveling very quickly. But let's give credit where credit is due. J.J. McCarthy was that dude in the fourth quarter. 2 touchdown passes, a touchdown run. Mm-hmm. For him to have 3 touchdowns, become the first rookie ever to do that in his NFL debut, you wanted to make him look like a rookie. They did it, but they only did it for three quarters. And the fourth quarter, he got loose.
Kevin McConnell said on the TV broadcast at the half, I've got to be better. Like, we've got to make sure. I think it was the great Lisa Salters asking him about what he thought about J.J. McCarthy. And he said he had a plan. You could tell. He was talking to her, and he said, you know, we've got to make adjustments, but also I've got to be better. And you can tell even then, when he says that, I'm like, oh, hell. Here we go. And for all of the leadership compliments I've heard about him, credit to him coming out and doing the damn thing at Soldier Field. That was incredibly impressive. I wish I were talking about the Bears in that situation.
Yeah, this is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody, who was at the game last night. So I'm really curious, because you talked about how kind of the energy shifted from the Bears to the non-Bears, if you will, as far as what was happening in the fourth quarter. What did you make of the fourth quarter itself?
I mean, it was just, you know what, I'll even go back to the start of the second half and the third quarter. Caleb Williams is, Bears defer, right, to start the game. So they get the ball to begin the third quarter.
That was good. That was the good decision.
Right. Well, it you know, it always feels good when the second half starts, but then you go three and out. The short pass to the right out of the reach of DeAndre Swift. Second pass, short pass to the right out of the reach of Cole Kmet. Luther Burden, who Caleb was looking for on the left side. Then he throws behind Zaccheaus with pressure. A three and out on that first drive.
Set the tone, didn't it?
Set the tone. But then everything was okay. The party was on because Nashawn Wright gets the pick six, and he takes it, obviously, into the end zone for 74 yards. But the Bears just sort of settled in after that and didn't keep the pressure on. And one of the last things that Dennis Allen told us was, hey, it's about adjustments. He said that paraphrasing, he finds that the team that adjusts the best, a lot of times on defense, is the team that is going to win. So Kevin O'Connell won the battle of adjustments over Dennis Allen and the defense. I hate that this happened for the defense, because the defense was inspiring in the first half, especially the first two plays, where both of those first two drives end on sacks for the Bears, and everybody's thinking, okay, maybe they have something here. But the fourth quarter, Marshall, to your point, was just an absolute dud and just jarring.
And listen, I know that there was that third and 30 drive, for example. I don't know how that's a hold on Darnell Wright.
Where he knocks him down, essentially.
Yeah, where you're actually, and Jeff Schwartz goes into the film of why it's proper technique. But I have news for you. That's one play. That doesn't account for all the false starts we saw, which there were many. Several in the first half. That's on them. And that was something that Ben Johnson talked about from the very beginning. You said it, 127 yards lost. And frankly, extending Vikings drives where you needed those points back. And the reason the Vikings drives got extended, where at least they were able to score field goals in the beginning, was because of like the 41-yard pass interference on Tyreek Stevenson. You know, that gets added in there. And that frankly was pass interference on that play. It was 42 yards. They went after Nashawn Wright, which I understand. He redeems himself with that pick six. He goes down with the calf injury. By the way, we're still trying to figure out what's going on with DJ Moore, right? We're still awaiting an update on him.
Yeah. And being in the locker room last night, I made a stop, and he was there. He was getting dressed, but I was told politely by the Bears PR staff that he would not be talking and that he might talk today. The Bears have a Zoom availability today at 4:00. I'm not sure if he will be available or which players will be, if any. But it looks scary. I mean, just the way he was just sort of dizzily, seemingly walking off the field. He then comes back onto the field. And then I watched him from the press box walking quickly with the Bears head trainer, Andre Tucker, to the tent, and that was the extent of it until we saw him in the locker room. But it was encouraging that we did see him in the locker room. A lot of times, if it is a bad or serious injury, they'll be back getting treatment, and they won't even show their face in the locker room. So that's encouraging for him, but that scared me.
Well, it looked painful That's for sure. We have more with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody, who was at the game last night. We're going to get into what we heard from Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams after the game, and also get into the performance we saw out of QB1, where I think even the great Ben Johnson missed a couple of opportunities to scheme some plays up. So we'll do that next here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody and you on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Here's one to the end zone, and DJ Moore was open but overthrown, and that stops the clock at 2:26.
Boy, he just had his eyes in the wrong place. He was looking in the flat to Zacchaeus here, who goes here, but then he misses DJ Moore. Immediately, Williams is looking to Zacchaeus, and because he's looking to the flat, he doesn't see the corner sit on it. Otherwise, the ball comes up a lot quicker.
That was Troy Aikman, friend of the 670 The Score afternoon show, along with Joe Buck, also hanging out on the afternoon show every now and then on Monday Night Football. We are recapping a Bears 27-24 loss to the Vikings on Monday Night Football to start the season. This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And it started good for Caleb Williams. Goes 10 of 10. We saw his first drive where, again, the checkdowns were being run. You could tell he was getting through his read progressions. He was on the run. I think the Vikings deliberately tried to play faster, and then he responded by also being faster. You saw that up-tempo. Best thing you could do as a quarterback, especially after the Bears were so bad on first drives last year, go out there and not only move the chains, get some points, and then creme de la creme, get the touchdown. And he did all of that. Thanks in part also to not just the Bears running the ball with DeAndre Swift in that drive a bit, but Caleb Williams' legs as well. And I thought that was part of the good we saw out of the game yesterday. Mark, you were there. What was your impression of just that first drive that you were witnessing?
Oh, man, it was terrific. It was what everybody needed in that stadium, even those of us in the press box, because we have all been talking about what Ben Johnson is going to bring. We know it was a scripted play. Oftentimes, scripted plays can be very successful at the NFL level. But I'll just say, yeah, that was something that everybody needed to see. So it was terrific. It was like, okay, Caleb Williams is, you know, making quick decisions. He is being elusive. He's getting rid of the ball. He is feeling the pressure correctly. A lot of things that he did not do well last year. And you brought it up earlier, Marshall, just the fact that almost every single first drive last year was a straight-up dud. So it was just imperative that we saw it, and we saw it. So it was great. You know, 6 for 6. 10 for 10, as you said, and just it was crisp. Hell, the touchdown was on a third down play. He was converting third downs. Everything went right on that first drive.
And using his legs was important to keeping that drive moving in the way that it was. So my issue is understanding how they look at a first drive and understanding first 15 for most teams and understanding how scripted things can be and how much they work on those scripted plays leading up to a game. And to see it all fall apart after that in terms of what they're trying to establish, that is what is concerning about this. Was like, okay, I compare Caleb Williams, follow me on this, to that basketball player that looks outstanding, shooting from long range, doing exciting things. Bruce Bowen comes to mind. He's an over 40% three-point shooter.
He also plays really good defense and knew how to box out on somebody.
He does know how to do that, but when you talk about basketball, fundamentally speaking, a free throw is pretty fundamental. Bruce Bowen, for his career, even though he shot over 40% from three, shot 57.5% from the free throw line. Caleb is that guy who could do all the Steph Curry type stuff, right? From deep. But he's out here missing layups a lot.
Well, and unfortunately, what we saw was, once again, the sexy wow you play is Caleb Williams on the run. You know, it's the run to his right, throw the dart on the move to Roma Dunze,
who that was terrific,
magically stays in bounds to help them extend that play, for example. Or it's when he's having to run because he's flushed out of the pocket, which unfortunately I think still happened too much yesterday, even though you saw help protection. Like, they brought in Theo Benedet a lot as help. They were running 12 personnel, two tight end sets. We even saw, I think, yeah, it's like mixed protection when you bring in Benedet as an extra blocker. Cole Kmet, I think, sacrificed a lot blocking. I feel like he was involved on some intricate blocking schemes where, unfortunately, he was the block that helped retain the pocket. We still saw guys like Braxton Jones get pushed into Caleb a bit. Unfortunately, I think we still saw a lot of lack of sliding of protections or blitz pickup in the second half by CW when you just saw the how Brian Flores was bringing the blitzers. There was a lot of guys just shooting the gaps, even between what we thought was trusted, you know, between guard, center, and guard. I felt like that was happening a lot. Outside of that, though, when Caleb was on the move, that's when we saw him do his best work. That's nothing new. But if you know that you're not getting the accuracy in the pocket, and you said that game flow was going to dictate some of what you were doing, which is what we heard Ben Johnson say last week, why didn't you roll him out more? Why wasn't that more of an option, to have purposeful bootlegs, to have that? We've been asking for that for years now.
Well, I think
if you know it's what your quarterback does best. I mean, J.J. McCarthy was in the shotgun. Did anybody care? They won the game.
Well, Ben Johnson did say, remember what Weider told us. Ben Johnson said, you got to come to me. You got to come to me, come to my offense, which requires a lot of the time staying in the pocket and making the quick decisions. I look at one of the drives I look at as maybe quintessential, because this is what I've been seeing in training camp and what we've all seen in some of the preseason game. And I'll even go back to last year's camp. The thing is we see great plays from Caleb Williams in these camps, but a lot of times we don't see successive good plays, or just a good drive where there's three or four really good plays. Late third quarter, this is after the Nashon Wright pick six. It's 17-6 Bears. Caleb has that 22-yard pass to DJ Moore on play action. Then the next play is that 3-yard loss to Luther Burden. So right after that, you lose yardage. Then Caleb gets the ball deflected. All of a sudden, you have a 3rd and 13, and you get a little bit of it back to Colston Loveland, and the play is over, and it's a dud. So you get the one good play, but where's the rest of it?
I think when you're looking at the way that Caleb Williams has developed so far, look, it's one season and one game. But the only thing he's been consistent at is his inconsistency so far. It's right there in front of you. The tape does not lie.
Well, and also, I think this is a good point from 773. I don't necessarily know if it's scared on the text line, but they say he's too scared to climb the pocket. We didn't see climbing the pocket.
No.
The last time we saw that out of a Bears quarterback was, I believe, Case Keenum in the preseason. So that's not even something that I think we've seen yet. I don't know when you get there. I think we all have to keep in mind, when Ben Johnson said strip it down to the studs, I think that is partially why you saw so many false start penalties. Like, that was a lot of creative use of motion. That was a lot of what I was watching in the first half of the ball game on the plays that worked. How are you using your motion, your half motion? We saw a little bit of that. I know I talked to you about it, Mark, on the Take the North podcast that we taped it 12 o'clock.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, midnight this morning, whichever you want to call it. But saying that, we saw a lot more, I think, schematically sound process. Like, we did see, and it's going to take some getting used to because of all that motion. The Bears didn't do it last year. Like, period, paragraph, they did not do that much pre-snap motion. You saw guys run half motion toward the center, toward the quarterback, run back out. That got you to look at what the Vikings defense was doing. You knew that they were going to make adjustments, and adjustments they made defensively. That was a big part of it for me, was just seeing how the adjustments were made and then what they weren't doing. And I think what we weren't doing was picking up those blitzes and those extra men. Like, that's slide protection, as we understand, is on QB. So how was that going when you saw somebody creep up through the gaps there in that second, and really the second half?
And we don't know, like, the cadence issues could have been there too, like the false starts. I mean, of course, it's easy to blame Darnell Wright for false starts or whomever else committed them. But that could also be part of the full package of the quarterback and all the things that Layla is talking about, and that's stuff that we'll get more texture on as the week goes on. And, you know, texter said the defense allowed 21 points in the fourth quarter. The defense and the offense fell asleep. That's fair. Well, and, yeah. And look, both started hot. And you know, I give the defense, again, a lot of credit. And you can pick the pieces up. As bad as this loss was, there are encouraging things. I like the way, even though Dayo Odangbo had a bad couple of bad penalties himself, you know, the roughing penalty, I mean, it probably was legitimate, but it was close. I like the way Dayo Odangbo played. In terms of pressure, he got a sack, so we got to see a little bit of that, which was nice.
We're talking about Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, game one for them in their newly found marriage. They are newlyweds, let's be clear. Here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody. And the thing that I want to make sure we're all on the same page on is I think the number one issue right now is the lack of consistent accuracy. And when I say accuracy, I don't just mean balls completed to receivers. I mean the ball placement that also allows for the yards after the catch with him. So can we take a listen to Caleb Williams when he was asked about the amount of inaccurate passes that kind of piled up as he threw for 44% after the initial 10-for-10 start?
Caleb, it seems that towards the end of the game, a few of your passes started to get away from you. Can you pinpoint the reason for that happening?
No, I think that just happens sometimes in games and in moments. Just got to reel it back in and go out there and execute. I think we did that on that last drive, our second to last drive that we had. Being able to reel it back in and go out there and complete the ball.
Again, you got to be able to just hit the very basic. The one you brought up, the DeAndre Swift, where it's just like, he's right there. Just throw it to him. It's a lateral throw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a no. It was a big no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to like make excuses for like, is there some reason you could? No, he just missed it.
You heard his answer there. He's just like, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? It can't happen at that volume.
Yeah.
You can have a bad throw every once in a while, but you can't have two and three and four bad throws.
Back-to-backs, essentially.
Well,
right?
I think what we saw was they probably coached mental process for the first scripted drives and the first scripted plays. Like, you could see that. There was a different decision-making process that was going on. But then that wasn't the case in, I would say, halfway through the second quarter and then for the rest of the game. You didn't see that. Like, there was a good point that I think Troy Aikman made when it came to the read progressions that we saw. He talked about it during the game, but the read progressions that we saw out of Caleb Williams, even where he missed that long pass to DJ Moore, they end up scoring. That was the second touchdown drive, but I want to get into that as well.
Marshall.
Wait, do we have that sound from Troy Aikman?
Oh, yeah, we have it.
Oh.
Here's another look at that play. You got Zacchaeus coming here, and then DJ Moore comes off the ball. And you see right on how much room there is. He was just late getting to it. And I think when he was late, then the ball sails on him instead of him making an accurate throw. But, boy, that should have been an easy one. And then you've got a touchdown and still over 2 minutes left to play.
So I point that out because even though they did the right thing, they end up scoring on that drive. That was what we're talking about here. We're talking about how old habits are going to die hard. And when you see that in the game, where are you reading? What are you trying to do? I think unlearning some bad habits that he picked up last year is going to take more time than we realize.
And I think why that's so frustrating, Layla, Mark, is because it's like akin to a Major League Baseball player. When you see the busted coverage like that, when you throw a hanging breaking ball, what do you expect a Major League Baseball player to do with it?
Ball over the wall.
He's supposed to punish the pitch. Same situation last night for Caleb on a couple of different situations. And in some, he checked down. And in others, he just missed. And you can't have multiple chances because you're only going to get so many chances in an NFL game against a decent to good team.
Well, and the Vikings were down. They didn't have Jordan Addison. You know, J.J. McCarthy's making his debut in a regular season game. Like, they offensively, you had opportunities to take advantage like you did in those first drives that we talked about. Like, that was the part of this. Grody, you were going to get to a thought.
Oh, yeah. Marshall, I don't know if this was something that you had, because you said you were going to read us something that we don't want to hear. Have you delivered that yet?
No.
Okay, because I don't. I want to make sure we don't have the same thing here.
No, no, it's not.
Okay. This is from our friend Judson Richards. He texted me this last night. I'm just seeing it. The Bears blow an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter in Ben Johnson's debut. That's the largest by a head coach in his NFL debut since Matt Nagy in 2018 at the Packers. That was a 17-point lead. How you like me now, Layla?
Those two games felt different. One of them I was at Dick's Eating Nachos.
Yes.
I was not at Dick's Eating Nachos last night.
Not the pot roast nachos from Ditka's, though.
No, I had the chicken.
Okay.
RIP to the restaurant that was pretty good and had amazing nachos.
It was Kick-Ass Red is what it was.
All right.
That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. So let's get Marshall's reading the thing that we don't want to hear.
Well, it's not even reading. It's just a thought.
We'll do that next on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. We're also going to take your calls, 312-644-6767. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score.
Disappointing way to start the season there for us. Have a 17-6 lead and then see it go the way it did there in the fourth quarter. There were a number of things that I could have done better, a number of things that a number of guys could have done better. When you look down at the stat sheet and you see 12 penalties, that's got to get cleaned up in a hurry.
Welcome to Chicago, Ben Johnson. You're one of us now. Now you know. This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And Marshall had a thought. You said that people are going to get mad when you have it.
It's
so
fine.
Let's go.
Yeah,
let's
the people
go.
In the studio are probably going to get mad when I have it. But I said coming into this season that all eyes are on who? They're on Caleb Williams now because the proven play caller is here. Ben Johnson has a resume. Caleb Williams does not have an NFL resume. He has a rookie year, which was fine because he grew a little bit, but he got set back because he had bad coaching staff, whatever. But now that excuse does not exist anymore. So now I think there is a clock that is ticking. Could it be the bye week? I don't know. Could it be past the bye week? We'll see. But between now and some point midway in the season, Caleb Williams has to show improvement. Because if he doesn't, you know what's going to happen next? Tyson Bagent's going to start getting reps.
Not you.
After one game.
Dude, Bagent was trending on Twitter. I mean, let's face it. He needs to show improvement next week. But I don't think the hook is that.
No. Swing. The hook is not tight. I'm just telling you, a clock exists. You don't know. I don't know how long the clock is, but it is counting down.
I would give it more than the
bye week.
I'd give it more than the bye week.
I'm saying, let's say 9 games.
Yeah, that is more fair. I will tell you one little scene yesterday at Hallis Hall.
We got through 49 minutes before you made a bold prediction.
Yeah.
How's the Cubs Brewers?
It's a little bold.
So now we have 5 minutes to take how many calls?
As long as Caleb does what he's supposed to do, it's fine. But if he doesn't, I'm telling you.
Real quick, as we go when the game ends, the horde of Chicago media and probably Minnesota media, some Minnesota media and national media, the horde of us stand outside of the Bears locker room for about 5 to 10 minutes or so. And typically you will see players that maybe didn't play or practice squad guys walking out in their street clothes, going home. And one of the first guys that walked out and parted the sea of media people was Tyson Bagent. And I am sure that my fellow media members were thinking a certain thing as well as he part like and he just kind of like Tyson just kept his head down, got his tight new haircut, just walked right through the horde of media people, and it just something about that was
Tyson's a stud.
There is a running clock.
Hold on, no, stop. We have 4 minutes to take calls. Now 3 because of you two sounding like callers. So who are we going to?
Mrs., we got to get the three-man weave going.
I'm too short to see this screen.
It's okay when you're talking.
First? I pick Jeff in Kalamazoo. Jeff, you're on the score.
Hey, good morning, Midday Crew. Marshall, you're kind of hitting straight on what I'm going at, and it's been on the airwaves today that 10-for-10 start was something excellent. It was good, but it's pretty pedestrian when you look at it. We asked Caleb to throw the ball quickly and to hit his checkdowns, but we did not tell him to make his checkdowns his initial passes. He is missing people over the middle, and then later on in the game, I think we find out why. When he throws over the middle, he is not accurate at all, and this is not a one-game thing. This has been over the whole year, and we still have yet to see him complete a pass in his Bear career where he actually winds up and throws a 50-plus yard pass down the field and completes it on a bomb. That has not happened yet. So I think when you see the play calling the way it is, and the frustration on Johnson's face, I think he schemes people open. Aikman says it in the beginning of the game, even after a completion. He says he hits the check down, but look down the field. There's a guy wide open. We got to hit the 10 and 15-yard passes if we're gonna be a team that's going to win Super Bowls. We didn't pick him one of one to be Kyle Orton. We picked him to be a Patrick Mahomes type.
Take the shot.
They got to bring up Kyle Orton.
I know. This is good. We got a Kyle Orton reference. You brought up Tyson Bagent. But this is the point. We all know that there's an accuracy issue here, and it's on balls that are a lot closer than they should be. What? One shot was taken downfield by my count?
Guys, start taking
shots.
That's
not enough.
What did I tell you guys on one of the first days of training camp this year, that Caleb Williams was struggling with the deep ball? And I can't tell you how much crap I got for saying that.
Talk
he's
about
never
him.
Not struggling.
I mean, we can't hear this right now.
I got crushed for that. I got crushed for that.
Guess what? Welcome to the regular season, where every single week a team is going to prove to you exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Like, you wish it's the media talking about this. You aren't playing us. You can point to that scoreboard every day.
I understand.
Can't do that against another team.
I get why Bears fans are scared to death.
Struggle with the deep ball.
Let's go to another call. It is Anthony in D.C. Anthony, you're on the score.
Anthony.
Hey, what's up? What's up again? Hey, look, following up the last convo, Cairo Santos, Torrey Taylor, and the defense. But I got another part of it. Caleb, I think our biggest issue, other than the twins on the right side of the line, because they just totally look aloof. But other than that, I think Caleb is more focused on looking and sounding presentable instead of actually going out there and playing the damn game to win. He's worried about being on Mount Rushmore and 22 Super Bowls and all of these things. Well, we need to keep it the basics. And that's just what I have to say. I'm still encouraged, but yeah, I'm kind of worried about the first three being a domino effect for the season.
All right. Well, Anthony, thank you for your call. I don't necessarily know that is the case, because I think you got to back up your play. Like, he's already made $10 million and he did it because he played well.
Right.
So I feel like that is definitely the case. Like, the work ethic is evident when you consider how he got here. But the fact of the matter is, the quarterback who made the most adjustments yesterday was not him.
I think to the caller's point, yes, Caleb wants to be great. There's takes work for that, but the main thing I remember in that interview with Courtney Cronin before the season started is that he talked about his screensaver changing from the 8 Super Bowls, you know, one more than Tom Brady, to just winning a Super Bowl. I'm glad he's pared it down. Now, pare it down to completing open passes.
Yeah, throw downfield. Find your receiver downfield in the pocket.
Take the shot.
In the pocket. We have more coming up next on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score, because we've waited to talk about special teams because we have just the guy. Patrick Manley, the Bear who has played the most games with the team. He's part of the Bears post-game show as well for 670 The Score. He will join us to talk about too many things that went wrong on special teams last night next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.